Welcome back to the Ojibwe Way of Life. We're going through a small series here, part five of Changing of the Seasons. You know, we could do this all day long. There's so much to talk about, especially of Changing of the Seasons. And one of the things that we are going to talk about today is the fall of the year. I know that we jumped around for a lot of things on this series, but we're going to talk about the fall, especially when, we're talking about the wild rice season, which is a main staple to the Ojibwe people. This wild rice, we use it to for our ceremonies. It's an intricate part of us, this food that grows on top of the water. Of course, you know, we've all heard the prophecies where we were to come to and stop at the place where the food grew on top of the water. So it's a very sacred thing to all of us, the Ojibwe people. And that's how we have come to be here. That's how we have flourished. You know, as far as blood quantum goes, we are the second largest. The Cherokee are the second largest right now, but only because they go by descendancy. So anybody can come and claim, make a claim to be enrolled in that tribe. But as far as blood quantum goes, we are the second largest. And we have flourished and we have come to know the lay of the land and ourselves and our place in the world and how we come here and why we're here. We know those types of things, and you know, that's just part of us. And so that season is very, very important to us. It's very important to my family, I know for sure. You know, I go out and I go harvest every year. I think I missed like a couple of years over all the years when I started ricing. I missed a couple. And those years were kind of rough, but it was always other family members that have always come forward and gave me some, you know, especially my father. When he was alive, he would say, "Yes, I got some, you know, come get some." And so I'd come and get some. And, you know, it's a very, very good food for you. The importance of that season is that, you know, with wild rice, foods what you get in the grocery stores, you know, and then there's superfoods which you grow, and then there's super foods which are wild, and there's no preservatives, no chemicals, you know, for the most part on them, and they are foods that you can actually survive off of indefinitely, that you don't need any other food, and wild rice is one of these. And when you think about that, you know, how can such a plant be like that for us? And there are several of them in the world that are like this. But we're lucky enough to be in an area where it does grow in abundance enough for us. And that we can go ahead and harvest it every year. We know how to harvest it. We know how to cure it. It is a lot of work. Back in the day, there would be wild rice camps, which means that you would come from wherever you were at. We would put our camps up, and that's where we would harvest the wild rice. We knew that, excuse me, we knew that tying the wild rice made it larger. It grew three times its size while it was still on the stalk. Also tying the rice prevented the wind from blowing it off and the rain from knocking it down. And so when you untied it, the whole head of the wild rice plant itself, which is a grass, by the way, would fall into the boat and you could harvest it. And we didn't have knockers, we had paddles. And so, and then we'd bring it on in. There was wood to be harvested to come on in and to cook up the wild rice, to scorch it as we call it, and then we'd have to take the birch bark trees and make the scotch a noggin out of it, and then we'd have to winnow it, and of course, you know, we'd have to be careful, you know, because the beards of the wild rice could get caught in our eye, and those could swoop into your brain, and it wouldn't be a good thing. And so, we knew things about the wild rice and how to cure it and how to harvest it, and how it would be a main staple in our family through the hard winter months. And then they wouldn't be so hard because we knew that we could, if anything else, the wild rice would take us into the spring of the year, no problem. There was other things that were edible too that would, in the spring of the year, before the spring, the ground would thaw, and plants would start to come to life. That would take us into those months. And of course, we'd prepare all year long for the winter. And those are things that we'd use to survive. Fish, abundance. We'd be able to chop holes in the ice and use our nets and put them under the ice, catch the fish, bring them on up, and it'd be plentiful for many. And nowadays, you just have to go to the store all winter long. Go to your jobs, be stuck in a 9-to-5. Sorry to say the word stuck, but that's pretty much what it is. But there's nothing wrong with it. I'm pretty much like that myself here. And then you have that, and it kind of takes you away from the minding the seasons, and the lay of the stars up in the sky and those types of things, depend on the weatherman to tell us when it's cold, when it's going to be hot, and even that's not a highly accurate thing, but it's pretty darn close. Anyway, those are some of the things I didn't want to talk about today, and once again, thank you for tuning on in, and we'll talk to you again next week. This is Ojibwe Way of Life.